Hello, everyone. Welcome to Clearing the Static, a presentation of Geneva Community Radio. I'm Jake Longwell. Clearing the Static is a program about developments in radio and television occasionally in the United States and Canada. I'm joined by the Radio Kid, as usual, and we'll get the program underway this week with the latest edition of Radio News Now. Radio Kid, good evening.
Good evening, Jake. Here is the Radio News Now, the radio newscast to go to when your radio station changes format. For the week ending April 8th, I am the Radio Kid. Here is your Radio News Now. Talk gets smart in Bakersfield. In Bakersfield, California, many sources are reporting this week that KGOE 1230 has dropped ESPN Radio in favor of Talk as Smart Talk 1230. According to Taylor on Radio Info, the lineup includes Dave Ramsey and Clark Howard. The focus of the station seems to be on consumer advice. KGOE is an American General Media station. The website for the station is smarttalk1230.com. WBEN gains FM simulcast. The trend towards heritage AM news talk stations moving to FM took another turn this week. Last week, Entercom shelved heritage soft AC format, KUDL 98.1 Kansas City, Missouri, to simulcast KMBZ 980. This week, it's still the same company, Entercom, but in a diary market, Buffalo, New York. WBEN 930 gained an FM simulcast via the death of AAA WLKK The Lake 107.7, licensed to Wethersfield Township. Of the move, General Manager Tim Wenger said the following, quote, "The addition of the FM simulcast will significantly improve WBEN's reach as the leading source of news, information, and talk on the radio in Buffalo. While Buffalo is primarily a strong AM market and WBEN is a ratings leader, the addition of the FM simulcast will make the WBEN brand more readily available to the vast majority of people who spend time on FM radio," unquote. According to multiple sources, the move happened Tuesday, April 5th, at midnight. The AAA Lake format lives on without the unique imaging on WLKK HD2. The website for WBEN is WBEN.com, or try newsradio930.com. Waves crash into Salisbury. A few months after the Wave Oldies format flowed away from Salisbury, Maryland, it's back. Back in November, you'll recall that Clear Channel Communications sold WLBW 92.1, which was running the format, to EMF, who promptly flipped the station to Air One. Now, the Wave moniker is back, along with a classic hits format, as, according to RadioInsight.com, Delmarva Broadcasting pulled the plug on Smooth Jazz KQJZ 97.1, replacing it with new calls of WAVD and the classic hits wave format. Radio News Now monitored the station and heard songs, including the Bee Gees' More Than a Woman. The website for the station is 971thewave.com. 96X tweaks in Norfolk. In Norfolk, Virginia, VAR-TV is reporting that 96X has dropped most of the harder edge music from the alternative station, replacing that music with pop crossovers from the likes of Rob Thomas and Colby Kalett. This makes the station sound more like the recent click stations that have popped up in Seattle and Dayton. As a result, Mike and Bob are out of morning drive. Nick Chappelle is now handling morning duties there. Artists include Modest Mouse, Florence and the Machine, along with Sarah Bareilles and Colby Kalit. When Radio News Now heard the station, it was automated and playing Red Hot Chili Peppers' Scar Tissue. The website for the station is 96X.com. 96X is a Sinclair station. The band breaks up and brings out the oldies. The classic rock on KKSF 103.7, The Band, San Francisco, California, is gone, along with the band moniker. In its place is classic hits oldies 103.7, as the station flipped Friday, April 8th, at noon local time. The reaction on the discussion boards at radioinfo.com is overwhelmingly positive. Radio News Now monitored the station and heard songs ranging from Soul Man to Johnny Nash's Bright Sunshiny Day. The new website is at oldies1037.com. Here are some more format changes that were briefly mentioned on Radio Insight's Twitter feed. WZBK 1220 in Keene, New Hampshire, flipped from a simulcast of WKVT 1490 and its progressive talk format to ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio 1220.com. Tornado Alley Communications has flipped Rock 102.5 KACI to classic hits as 102.5 The River. This is in Arkansas City, Kansas. The website for the station is 1025theriver.com. Although, don't look for any web stream. You won't find one. Turning now to our On the Block segment. It was a very slow week in sales this week. $200,000 sale in Florida. A now-silent station near Tampa, Florida, is for sale, says Tom Taylor on Taylor on Radio Info. The station is WOGF. No frequency was given, and we weren't able to find one. Nature Coast Broadcasting is selling the station to one of its creditors, Citrus County Association for Retarded Citizens. And yes, that is what is in the filing. CCARC has appointed Bert Sherwood as the receiver for the station. And we should reiterate again, the price for this is $200,000 in the sale agreement. Now, there was no other information available from TRI or the FCC filing about this sale that was made public. EMF selling? EMF is selling a station. What? Could you repeat that again? Gladly. EMF is selling a station. But before you all start applauding, you must know this station, KGCE, a Class C2 licensed to Post Texas, doesn't do either of the core EMF formats, K-Love or Air One. KGCE is a Spanish Christian station, and according to Taylor on Radio Info, it's being sold to BWB, which is James Bowles and Kathy Whitwood. No price or further information was available. New Northwest stations close to Ohana in Anchorage and Oregon. Back in December, we told you about the sale of the New Northwest Broadcaster stations to Trela Bumstead's Ohana Media from in Anchorage, Alaska, and Astoria, Oregon. That sale has now closed, says Taylor on Radio Info. The stations in Anchorage include KFAT 92.9. In Astoria, Ohana gets five stations, including KCRX 102.3 and KLMY 99.7. Bumstead says there will be no changes to the stations. The broker for the sale is for Ohana Media is Callow and Company. Part of the KDFC sale closes. Half of the two-station sale we told you about, which led to the demise of KDFC as a commercial radio station, has closed. Actually, we're talking about the sale to the University of Southern California in the southern part of San Francisco, California. Actually, the market of Santa Rosa. The station is KNDL 89.9, licensed to Angwin, California, the former Christian AC Candle. The seller is Howell Mountain Broadcasting, and the buyer is, of course, University of Southern California, which has already installed the KDFC classical format and will install the KDFC calls on that station. Taylor on Radio Info reports the price to be $2,725,000. The broker is Callow & Co. The other part of this sale is of KUSF, which is being sold from the University of San Francisco to the University of Southern California. Now, that deal is under mass protests and is subject to many petitions to deny at the FCC. For the week ending April 8th, that is your Radio News Now. I am the Radio Kid reporting.
Thank you very much, Radio Kid, as always, for the outstanding job that you do with the Radio News Now every week, keeping us informed of format changes and station sales.
Well, thank you.
Oh, yes, you're welcome. This program wouldn't be what it is without you.
I appreciate that. Well, thank you so much.
And the program is Clearing the Static, in case you're just joining us here on Geneva Community Radio.
For the moment, we are running commercial and promo free.
Yes, that will be changing very soon.
That will be changing very soon.
But no, we're not going to start running 15-minute spot breaks.
No. But we do have some exciting stuff in the works, and we'll tell you about that in the coming weeks. Speaking of format changes, we are going to talk about a couple of them that have been in the news and then some of them that have not been in my newscast. And the one that we're talking about first is the simulcasting of WBEN on FM in Buffalo, New York.
Yes.
We figured that since this show is produced in upstate New York, that we would lead off with discussion of this story.
That is right, and I feel that we both felt that that was made the most sense. This certainly was no big surprise to me, in the sense that for months, if not years, there had been rumors that Entercom was considering putting WBEN on FM, but nobody could figure out which station they would put it on, because the FM stations that they have in the Buffalo Metro proper are actually faring quite well for them at the moment. So it wouldn't have made much sense to blow up 98.5, which is CHR, KISS, or AC, STAR, 102.5. But people were thinking that, it wouldn't be 107.7 because its signal is deficient in the city of Buffalo itself. It has an excellent signal throughout the suburban areas and actually can be heard quite well in most of the Rochester metro, but not in Buffalo proper. Yet, that is what has happened here.
That's correct. Personally, I'll save my feelings on that in just a moment. But yeah, it was something that everyone knew was coming. Everyone knew it was going to happen sooner or later. I would have preferred later. Now, as to what Jake was saying about the 107.7 signal, you can hear it in Buffalo, but not very well.
Right. Right. That's why I said it's deficient. There's certainly a signal there, but
you can hear it in the car. If you're in a car you can hear it. But if you're thinking about trying to listen to the lake in some sort of building, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's not the lake anymore. It's WBEN. I'm so used to.
Yes. I mean, they did have, and maybe still do have, a translator in Williamsville on 107.3, which may help in some areas, but that's about the best that they're doing at this point.
Well, but you know what? It's their own damn fault because they sold the 104.7 translator, which was licensed to Downtown Buffalo.
Correct.
To Family Life.
Correct.
Nice way to destroy your new WBEN simulcast intercom. Of course, you probably weren't, you know, it's like, use your head.
Yeah, exactly. That probably was, well, there's no probably about it. That was a big mistake.
And they've always, you know what, they've always tried to foolishly market this thing as a Buffalo station.
Yes.
First of all, this station is in Weathersfield Township, which is in the middle of nowhere in Wyoming County. If I were Entercom or whoever else was owning this station, I would do an engineer study to make sure that the marketing it to Buffalo was wise. It's not. It's obviously not. I don't know what, you know, do they really think, I mean, did they really think that 107.7 would be able to garner good Buffalo ratings on its own? This is why they're simulcasting WBEN, folks. It's not to, as Mr. Wenger puts it, to improve WBEN. BEN as a brand. That's a bunch of press release speak. I'll tell you why they're simulcasting WBEN on 107.7. They're doing it to put 107.7 out of its misery. That's all it is, and that's all it will ever be. 107.7 can't garner ratings on its own. Now, when you look in the diary, you write down in the diary, WBEN. From now on, that credit, the credit for listening, is going to go to 107.7 and 930. Not just 930 alone. So 107.7 will be getting credit, but not individual credit. The station is going to go to WBEN as a whole, so then Entercom can claim, oh, yes, 930 WBEN has number one ratings. We've gotten the ratings even higher, but the only reason you've done that is because of the 107.7 simulcast, which you're practically primarily ignoring, which almost has to be ignored because of the circumstances of the diary ratings and that signal.
Right, and actually, I have to say, while I don't agree with what Entercom is doing, that frequency has always been, ever since it has been in commercial hands, which I believe it was sold as part of the breakup of the Christian Broadcasting Network, which was run by Pat Robertson. It was based out of Ithaca and had repeaters all over the state, including 107.7, 95.1, which was licensed to South Bristol, and 105.1 in DeRuyter and 101.9 in Cherry Valley. 103.7 was the originating station in Ithaca, I do believe. That was sold in 1982, and ever since 1982, it has been marketed as a Buffalo signal. Even though nothing has changed in terms of its physical location, transmitter, power output, or any of the other factors involved.
Yeah.
And I forget how many different formats this frequency has had in the time since 1982. It's been progressive rock, classic rock, smooth jazz, beautiful music, country, sports, AAA, and now news talk. So the format wheel spins yet again for 107.7 FM.
That's right.
Now, my question is, how long will this last? One has to wonder.
Jake, it can last as long as WBEN lasts. by doing this, I mean, they're doing the same thing they did in Clear Channel did in Rochester. By putting it in simulcast, you can practically ignore the FM.
Right. But
you
don't
have to flip formats on it again.
I don't know if they're really ignoring it, and I'll tell you why. I was watching a Sabres game, as I often do, which they have made it into the playoffs, so certainly rooting for them there. But I was watching, I've watched two different games now, and the play-by-play announcer, Rick Jenneret, on both occasions during the game, said WBEN's voice just got a little louder. Now you can hear Buffalo's news talk station on AM 930 and FM 107.7. So they are promoting this.
They're promoting it, yes. But they may get listenership out of it. But 107.7 will never show up again in any ratings diary. Because it can't get credit for anything because it's all under one line. When Arbitron sees WBEN, what's going to get credit is the 930 frequency.
Well, now that depends on whether or not 107.7 can get the WBEN FM call letters, which we're assuming that they will at this point.
Right.
Of course, WBEN-FM is currently being used in Philadelphia for the Variety Hits Ben-FM format on 95.7, which is owned by Greater Media. And people listening to this program in upstate New York will recall there was actually quite a stir and quite a not-so-positive reaction on the boards, the Buffalo-Rochester Radio Info Board especially, when that happened, because a lot of people felt that WBEN was and is a heritage call sign in Buffalo, and that any FM station that was to bear those calls should be in Buffalo. And of course, for decades, it was. WBEN-FM was on 102.5 during its various formats right up until the mid-80s, when they picked up the WMJQ calls, which had just been abandoned in the Rochester market. But so that's assuming that pardon me, that Entercom will get the WBEN-FM calls away from Greater Media. If not, then 107.7 FM will have separate call letters. You had mentioned to me in one of our conversations off air that WBNN was available.
Yes.
So certainly that could be an option, a scenario. Greater Media could swap WBEN-FM for another call that would reflect its Ben-FM moniker. But if not, then 107.7 will have to have a separate call sign. If that's the case, then there could potentially be credit given to 107.7 FM in the ratings.
Possibly, yes. Possibly. But anyone who writes it down is going to hear on the radio WBEN. That's what they're going to write down.
Well, that's true, too. That's true, too. You know, I always found it interesting, and this is coming from someone who never filled out a ratings diary and doesn't know very much about this, so I'm showing my ignorance here. But if a person writes down a station's moniker in their diary, does it count?
Yes.
Okay, because most people, and I don't mean to insult anyone's intelligence when I say this, but it's a pretty fair assumption, I think, and please let me know how you feel about this, Radio Kid, that most people don't know the official call letters of the stations they listen to.
Exactly.
So I would think that monikers would have to count.
Yes, and they do.
Okay. Very interesting.
And they do. So, but now I think that, you know, in talking about the potential for WBEN, what little potential I feel that there is, I must lament that a great format has been left behind.
I would agree with that.
What it has replaced was a classic rock-leaning AAA format known as The Lake. And I would like to say here and now, Entercom, you have made a stupid decision. I don't care what the trend is. I don't care that WBEN needs to have its, whatever, presence and brand improved. In my personal opinion, that was a dumb move. You have just killed off a format that had great TSL potential. The only reason that it suffered as much as it did was because you ruined it when you fired all the lake guides, as they were called. They weren't called jocks, they were called lake guides. You fired all the lake guides 3 years ago.
Right, and I knew at that point that when they had made that very stupid decision, very stupid move, that the format would never be the same.
No, no. And you know what made that format unique? Was the imaging.
Oh, yes.
The imaging is a guy talking over the sound effects of a lake. And just to show how wonderful this station was in terms of the imaging, and to basically to throw it in Entercom's face, what a dumb decision they've made. Before the flip happened, we recorded some of the imaging. And so we are going to play this now in tribute to the lake as Entercom, I'm sure, really doesn't care. It lives on in HD2 form, by the way, without this imaging.
Correct.
Yes. So here now is some... I'm going to try to... there will be some music in this. I'll try to get through this as quickly as I can. Here are some promos from the lake. We're going to start out. This is a general promo. Promo one.
1077, the lake.
Now see the wind chimes. See they made that whole thing just sound so much better.
Absolutely, that's one of the things that really. I really liked when I first heard the format not too long after it had debuted.
Yes. Yes, and now, let's see if we can...
1077 The Lake. It's where you can be reminded why you wanted the police and Led Zeppelin to reunite in the first place. By the beauty of Western New York, that's a good time to slow down and take it all in.
Okay,
just started Sun Records. Sam Phillips, who had just started Sun Records in Memphis, heard some songs a truck driver had recorded for his mother for her birthday and offered the novice singer, Elvis Presley, a recording contract. And the history of music was changed forever. Sometimes you have to break the rules. 1077, The Lake.
And those are some of the promos and some of the imaging that the lake was running. And that is our tribute to the lake. Entercom, may the lake rest in peace. Entercom, may you forever regret your dumb, stupid, dastardly decision.
I agree with that 100%. That there'll never be another station like it. And it did. You may recall the criticisms that it received on the boards.
Yes. The chirping crickets and the laughing water. That was what made the station great, you ding-dongs.
But... Well, as you say, at least it will live on in radio history. And for what it's worth, it does exist, as you say, on HD2. Interesting thing, though, didn't you say that you read somewhere or heard somewhere that the imaging would continue?
Yes, I did. And one of the posters on the board, and this was before, this was... Because I was on the board, and actually, I don't know if you've seen the thread, but...
I have not.
I will say, I posted a thread on there because I'm... Basically, I'm after the package of sound effects that the lake is using. Just because I had this hunch it would go away. And I just knew, for whatever reason, I just knew that they weren't going to use the lapping water and the chirping crickets and the birds and the this and that. That was all going to go away. And I am after that package because, I like those sound effects. I like what they were using. And so I posted on the board, please, if you know where I can get this, this is a serious inquiry. And somebody posted back, well, the lake will continue on HD2, and you'll still hear the lapping water and the chirping crickets and all that. And, no, that didn't happen.
No, it did not.
That did not happen.
Well, so yeah, that now that you've said that, that goes out over clearing the static as well. So if anyone is listening that is familiar with that particular effects package, definitely get in touch with the Radio Kid and see if you can help him out.
I would appreciate that. You are listening to Clearing the Static. And speaking of other interesting events that are going on in radio, something that will be covered in a future online-only newscast. We have a lot of behind news, but there's something that we feel we need to discuss that is still relevant to upstate New York. A couple of heritage radio stations are swapping owners in very interesting terms.
Yes.
WKPQ, which is licensed to the town of Hornell, which has had a very troubled past, is going to a company called Sound Communications. They are the company that bought the former Route 81 properties in Elmira and Corning. In exchange, Sound Communications is getting WCBA.
Or you mean Phoenix Broadcasting?
Or yes, Phoenix Broadcasting is getting WCBA 1350. And according to Scott Feibusch, they're not even getting studio space out of the deal, although I don't know about that one. But it's a very interesting exchange, and I forget the figures now. I think WCBA was only worth
$6,000.
$6,000, which meant that Phoenix is what is it? There's $344,000 involved here. And then the other station is WKPQ is going for the full $350,000 to Sound. So it's an equal exchange. Although I have to question that. And I, actually, because this is more Jake's neck of the woods. This comes more from Jake's neck of the woods. Jake grew up in that area, so I'm going to let him kind of elaborate further on these radio stations.
Well, yes, this has been an interesting saga. Following the chapters of this saga that have meant the demise of WKPQ as a once proud, you could call them a full service CHR station. They did have a mainly CHR-based format in the 80s and early 90s. They did some specialty shows like classic rock during the lunchtime and plenty of local news coverage. Of course, they also had a sister station, the long-defunct WHHO 1320, which in itself had a very sad end to it. In 2010, the license was canceled due to a non-payment of a fine levied against the station by the FCC. But the FM, of course, has remained, and it has been in the hands of Phoenix Radio, which is a company that I believe is actually run by creditors that took over the station from Bill Berry of Billbat Radio. And ever since then, the station has continued on running a mainly satellite-based hot AC format. The station has gone through some interesting format changes in the last 15 years. In the mid-90s, they dropped CHR for alternative modern rock with a satellite-based format. That eventually morphed into more of an active rock-sounding station, and then back into more of a hot AC sounding format, which, of course, is what it's running now. So, but during all of this time, for many, many years, 105.3 has had a huge following among the youth in Hornell, the Canisteo Valley, Bath, Dansville, pretty much all around the central southern tier. A lot of people listen to 105.3 as their station of choice. So the station definitely has a following, it has a heritage, and it will be interesting to see what happens with the station now that it is purchased by Sound Communications. The Radio Kid and I have been speculating off air about some of the things that could possibly happen. The question on my mind is, will it still be programmed out of Hornell?
Probably not.
That is my suspicion as well. And
but
I think
yeah, and you have to wonder if they're going to change it, because we've been looking at some of the websites for Sound Communications. They've actually improved the stations that they took over from Route 81. One of the stations in particular that they've improved, which I would have to say, if this were a year ago, we're talking about WGMM, which is Classic Hits Gem 98.7.
Right.
And Jake sent me an air check. It's about 3 years old. The station was under Route 81 control then, and the station sounded horrible. It was one of the worst sounding stations I have ever heard. Looking at the website, they've got DJs now. The station has DJs and a local presence in the community, and so I suspect the satellite feed is going to disappear from KPQ when Sound takes over. But I think it will be an Elmira-focused station.
Well, possibly, but at the same time, that station doesn't reach the Corning Elmira market. Okay, it reaches a part of the Corning Elmira market. Yes, because technically Hornell Bath is considered in the Elmira diary market.
Right.
But 105.3 does not penetrate into Corning or Elmira by any stretch of the imagination. That signal, it is a 50,000-watt signal, so it does cover a lot of ground, but it's mostly in the areas in central and western Steuben County and surrounding counties. You can hear them in portions of Allegheny and Livingston counties, and even in the border areas of Pennsylvania along the Steuben County line. So the signal does have quite a wide reach, but it is by no means a station that could be targeted at Corning or Elmira, because there's just no signal there.
Right. So I don't know. But then again, the more interesting question is WCBA.
Yes.
When Phoenix gets that station, which I guess they're not getting a studio out of it, unless Sound will let them run it from Hornell.
That wouldn't make much sense, though. Because, again, this is a 1,000-watt by day. Essentially, it's a daytimer. They have a minimum power output at night, but it's essentially 1,000 watts from a transmitter in South Corning.
Mm-hmm.
And so that signal wouldn't even reach Hornell. You can barely hear it in Bath on a good radio. So I don't think...
Now, here's what we know, because I did make some phone calls in preparing a newscast.
Ah, yes.
And here's what was confirmed to me. Phoenix has not said and will not say at this time what they're going to do with the station. I suspect they don't even know at this point. They're still worried about running KPQ. But they did confirm that they are not allowed to keep the Fox Sports affiliation,
which is what 1350 is currently running.
Right.
Hmm. Well, then we know then that it will not be that.
Right. But if they're not allowed to have a studio to run anything locally, then, I mean, I don't know. See, and other than that, they really wouldn't expound any further on this.
Right.
Mainly because I don't even think they know.
Well, that's probably true, actually. And it's interesting to note that this will be the only radio property that they own.
Yeah.
As is 105.3 currently is the only radio property they own. So it will be interesting to see what happens with this, because it is just a standalone AM station and a company that really isn't, at least as far as I can determine, isn't really interested much in running a radio station. It was essentially formed, I believe, to take over the station from the creditors.
Well, and so here's another question. I mean, if they're buying, which basically from what you told me, the only reason Sound Communications is getting rid of CBA was because they had to.
Yes, because of market cap.
So it was convenient to exchange it with Phoenix. Do you think Phoenix will then turn around and resell it?
Yes, I do. Do I have concrete proof of this? No, I don't.
No.
I don't have concrete proof. I have not heard any rumors. I don't have any information to suggest this. This is pure speculation on my part. But yes, I do. I believe they will try and resell it. Yep. But I'm not really holding my breath or getting too excited about a new full-service radio station coming to Corning, or in this case, coming back to Corning, because that's what WCBA once was. I don't see that happening. Can we say satellite religion?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes. That is what I predict will happen eventually.
I'm afraid I have the same prediction as you do on this matter. You are listening to Clearing the Static from Geneva Community Radio.
Yes, and if you want to get in touch with us, you can do that by sending email to radionewsnow@ymail.com. That's radionewsnow@ymail.com. Also, you can follow us on Jaiku. Our address for that is clearingthestatic.jaiku.com. That's clearingthestatic.jaiku.com. You can also friend us on Radio Jocks, social networking for the radio community. That's Radio Jocks, RadioJox.com. Be sure to look for our profile on that site as well. So, many different ways to get in touch with us. Of course, our own website is always up and available, clearingthestatic.tripod.com. That's clearingthestatic.tripod.com. And from there, you can download every edition of this program that has ever been produced.
You can download it. You can put it in your computer. People could probably even make CDs.
Yes, they could.
Oh, my God. Us on CD. what a scary thought.
There's nothing that says, because it's an MP3 file. It's downloadable. You can put it on your iPod. You could download it to your computer, burn it onto a CD. Share it with your friends.
Oh, no. Oh, wait. Oh, here. I have a birthday gift for you. Oh, what is it? Oh, it's a copy of the November 7th edition of Clearing the Static.
Well, there's enough programs now that you'd have to make a multiple box set.
Oh, yes.
If you were to download everything and try to put it on CD, standard CDs, you'd have to make a Clearing the Static box set, Volume 1, Volume 2, and so
volume
on.
Volume 3. We're going to get to 50 volumes yet.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure, because we're not going anywhere anytime soon.
I don't think so.
At least I hope not.
No.
But yes, getting back into the discussion.
Yes, there was some interesting news this week. Now, we've been talking about cuts to radio companies as far as Clear Channel, Citadel, Entercom. Everyone's cutting.
Oh, yes.
This week, we saw the first major cut by a Spanish broadcaster.
Yes.
Univision, which runs several formats and owns several stations, has completely cut its staff at the Recuerdo variety hits format that it is running out of Houston, which was already satellite delivered anyway, but there's no staff on it. And they've cut a number of other positions, many sales positions, many station management positions as well. At first, it was thought that Univision, which had a new manager in place for its radio division, it was first thought that they were cutting everyone who was associated with the old manager, Gary Stone. Turns out not to be the case. This is simply bottom line corporate slashing.
Yes, I saw this and I was very disappointed, very saddened, because these broadcasters that cater to quote-unquote minority audiences are, I think, very crucial and very critical to maintaining the radio listenership of these communities.
Yes.
And so when they're making these drastic cuts and essentially behaving just like the other commercial radio outlets, it's very disheartening, because these communities, I think, especially need to have radio service and unique radio voices.
Yes, but, you know, I'm seeing more and more automated Spanish formats, and I have to admit, you know, when we're talking about this, I have to admit, I have a bias. I don't particularly care for Spanish radio or the Spanish language in general. However, to see this is quite saddening, because I spent several months several weeks in Boston. And Boston has a very large Spanish population. And the Spanish-speaking people, Hispanics, behave very much like a community, very much like family. Everything is all about family to them. They are in general, in turn, very nice people. I've met some wonderful Hispanic individuals in my time in Boston. Since they are so focused on community and family, shouldn't their radio stations be behaving the same way?
Yes. That's kind of what I was alluding to a few minutes ago. I completely agree with that statement.
You know, and Univision, shame on you. You spend so much time on TV. How many cuts have you made in TV? How many cuts did you make to your TV division? I'll tell you the answer to that, because I looked it up. None. Actually, they've commissioned more telenovelas.
Which, for those who don't know, are sort of a younger-leaning soap operas.
Yeah, but they're from what I understand, they're shorter.
Yes.
The telenovela is not going to go on the same time length as Days of Our Lives, which has been on for eons and decades. A usual telenovela lasts for about 13 weeks.
Right. They're short stories, but in a soap opera-esque form.
Correct. Well, I'll tell you this. Univision, for their television station, has commissioned 3 new ones.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, those aren't cheap to produce.
No. How much do you want to bet that the cuts that they saved from Univision Radio are so that they can pay for their television?
That's a fairly safe assumption.
We see this with radio owners who own TV stations too. The thinking is TV first. Hello, EWTN. The thinking is TV first, radio comes second, and if radio suffers, who gives a damn? Well, let me tell you something. I give a damn. People who listen to the radio give a damn. And in this case, the Spanish-speaking communities in which you are serving, the very large Spanish-speaking communities in which you are serving, give a damn. Shouldn't they matter for something?
Yes, they should. And you're right. It always has been television first, and to most people that would make sense because more people are watching television than listening to the radio. But I don't think that means that radio should be sacrificed, and I don't think that it gives them a free pass to just run automated fare on most of their radio stations. But certainly that would be the logical explanation for all of this. And it's interesting with Univision, they actually started out as a television-only operation. Back in, I want to say, the 80s is when they were launched. And stations, they took over stations like WXTV in the New York metro. And I saw them for the first time on cable when I was visiting family down in Florida. But the radio came much later than the television network here, so...
But, you know, that's what happens... Well, that's especially what happens when you have an owner that starts out in TV first.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same deal with another network that I've been complaining about constantly. They started out in TV first and went into radio, and what happened? The radio was the one that got the bad quality.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, and notice they didn't cut anything in New York. They decided let's cut it in you know, smaller markets, which probably, you know, which I forget the market lineup now that Recuerdo was cut in. I just remember Houston, which is a bigger market, but I know there were smaller markets. In some of those markets, Recuerdo may have been the only or maybe one of two Spanish stations.
Most likely, yes.
That market. I mean, how unwise. You know?
Very, very unwise.
This is, again, the mistakes of radio all over again.
Well, at least in some of the larger markets, they have or had, and probably still have, competition that is still locally focused. And
right.
So this could be good for companies like Spanish Broadcasting Systems.
Oh, yes.
That specialize in this format and have actually, they know radio and know how to program radio for the Latino community because they've been doing it for so long.
I think SBS should hire some of the, if they're in the market, which I know they're in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
SBS is in Houston.
Right.
Now, we should say that this is Univision. This should not be confused with Entrevision, which is a totally different Hispanic radio operator.
Yes, it is. Correct. I'm glad you clarified that because the names are similar, so there could have been some confusion.
Yeah.
So, no, very sad to see that this trend is starting to spread to quote-unquote minority broadcasters. I don't even know if I like that term, minority.
Minority. No. But it's the only term we have. Well, actually, if you can come up with a better term, Radio News Now at ymail.com.
Absolutely.
You know,
but it is, as you say, it's just part of the trend. And you just have to wonder, where is it going to end? You know, something's got to give somewhere. But
I'll tell you how it's going to end. Radio's going to lose all of its listeners, and the managers are going to bawl their eyes out because they're not making any money, and the licenses are all going to be turned into the FCC, which is going to be that'll be the end of radio. These people are killing radio. That's where it's going to end, Jake.
Well, let's hope not.
I hope not either, but...
I mean, I'd hate to think that we're just spitting in the wind.
Yeah.
People like us.
I know.
That are on this crusade to try and save the medium that we love so much.
So our Jaiku question this week is, do you think this trend will continue in Hispanic radio?
Yes. My answer is I hope not.
I hope not either. You can chime in by adding us as a contact on Jaiku.
Yes, I forgot about that. You do have to add a contact, yes.
clearingthestatic.jaiku.com, clearingthestatic.jaiku.com.
We have a few moments left, Radio Kid. Is there anything else that you'd like to discuss?
Well, I was going to ask you that question, seeing as you hadn't had a fair shot yet.
Well, we talked off air about something that, it's not really news anymore. It's sad for me because I love the format so much, or at least what it used to be. Of course, the death of another smooth jazz station, this time on the Delmarva Peninsula, replaced with oldies. And, you know, as the Radio Kid and I were talking, this being the station being WQJZ 97.1, as the Radio Kid and I were talking, he had mentioned, well, it's really no big deal anymore. You know, we know that this is a recurring trend and so on and so on. But he brought up something interesting that I had not thought about even while I heard him reading this in the newscast. The fact that KKSF 103.7 in San Francisco, which of course dropped smooth jazz in favor of yet another attempt at classic rock, or I should say another attempt at the classic rock format in that market, rebranded itself as The Band, and yet now that format, too, has gone under.
Yes.
Which I just thought was very interesting. That this format that I'm sure they thought was going to bring them so much more in terms of revenue and ratings than smooth jazz is now gone.
Yes. It didn't
last as long as the smooth jazz format.
It did not. It didn't even last 2 years. It's about at the 2 year mark because it launched in April of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
So yeah, just shy of 2 years then.
Right.
Right.
Now, you know, and in its life, the band had hardly any jocks. We were monitoring the new oldies 103.7 last night. Saturday evening, it would be Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, their time. There were jocks on the air. They may have been voice tracked, but there was someone on the air.
Mm-hmm. And with a format like that, you've got to have personalities.
Yes.
You've got to. There's just no discussion about it.
That's correct.
Of course, that could be argued for just about any format in radio.
Well, yeah, because if it's all automated, it doesn't, unless you're playing some really obscure, you know, ambient music to play in the middle of the night, you really shouldn't be automating most of your main core formats. Of course, everyone does.
Yes, but that doesn't mean it's acceptable.
No.
It's like I said a few minutes ago, it doesn't give them the free pass to just run all automation all the time.
No, it doesn't.
So, but no, I just thought that was interesting. I don't know, in a way, maybe I'm happy to see that happen, like, ha, you know, you thought you knew everything. You thought that this format was going to be so much better.
Right.
And it wasn't.
No. But, of course, KKSF, in its final year or so of smooth jazz, wasn't much anyway. It was broadcast architecture.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and that's why I don't get all disappointed about the death of smooth jazz anymore, because so many stations have jumped onto that bandwagon.
The only one I will really be disappointed about will be Harrisburg.
Yes, I will too, because they have been holding out, and I just hope that they can keep it up. I mean, if the format's doing well in a market, in an individual market, so what if it's not doing well in other parts of the country?
Right.
That shouldn't make any difference, in my opinion.
It's like, you know, and I think I said this in a catch-up newscast a couple weeks ago, and we didn't get a chance to talk about it. KIFM is no longer smooth jazz. It's smooth AC. It's...
Yeah, same typical dribble.
Yeah.
And with that, we must wrap things up for this week.
Get a big bow and a big package, because here we go.
Yes.
You've been listening to Clearing the Static. Now, you can hear us at 8 p.m. on Geneva Community Radio on Sundays. We're at genevaradio.blogspot.com. Our website is clearingthestatic.tripod.com, clearingthestatic.tripod.com. You can email the program at radionewsnow@ymail.com, radionewsnow@ymail.com. Be sure to contact us on our Jaiku page, clearingthestatic.jaiku.com, clearingthestatic.jaiku.com, and friend us on our page at Radio Jocks, social networking for the radio community. We're at radiojocks.com/profile/clearingthestatic, radiojox.com/profile/clearingthestatic. And remember, all you radio geeks and geekazoids, video didn't kill the radio star. He's just not here right now because he's in search of all the neat and cool sound effects that were heard on the lake. And in order to find them, he must go sailing into the abyss.
That's right. Let's hope he returns. Clearing the Static is a presentation of Geneva Community Radio, which is solely responsible for its content.